You're living under grace, and you're living with love and grace and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness. Is there guilt? Is there an arousal of sin? Is there a punishment? Is there a bondage? No. You find the fruit of the Spirit through the power of Jesus in your life.
God, brilliant one, your name is resounding throughout the earth, and all of heaven sings, knowing well of your highest worth.
How would you define the grace of God? Well, many people have their opinion about it, but grace is that control of inward attitudes and outward actions by the means of agape love, without any penalty. And you know, it's all possible for a person to obey the law outwardly, but disobey it inwardly. And that's where God's grace makes all the difference, as Pastor Scott Miller will explain on today's program of God's Word Made Flesh.
You know, on the first Saturday of every month, we have a servants' time. And if you're here and you serve in any ministry of this area, we do this for you. And I want to encourage you to come first Saturdays of the month, to come to a potluck at 4 o'clock on Saturdays. And this last time, to encourage all of us, we asked all the people there to share three ways that their life has been transformed since they've come in to celebrate recovery. And it was a really, really powerful time, very encouraging for everyone. But as I asked God, what do you want me to say? Because what can you say for a total life transformation? Three things came to me. And the first one was my sobriety, because 18 years ago, I didn't believe it was possible. And today, I've been sober 19 years, 3 months, 30 days. That's just the beginning. And sobriety is really where life begins to start. And I could go on and on, but tonight I'm going to talk more about the greater miracles of what happens through God's grace beyond just the sobriety from whatever issue might bring you into recovery tonight. And there's a saying we say around here, it's don't quit until the miracle happens. You know, people come and go out of this ministry all the time. It's constantly a turnover. And so many quit before they actually experience the miracle. And who performs miracles in our lives? God. We can't make it happen, can we? The definition of a miracle is something we can't do ourselves. So it's the miracle starts with sobriety, but then it expands to things that blow your mind. And tonight we're looking in our last lesson on the eighth and ninth step. We've been in it for quite a while. And the miracle of the eighth and ninth step is just partially in this. It's found in the big book of AA on page 84. It's my favorite part of the whole book, but it says this. It says, if we're painstaking, that means don't quit. Work the eighth and ninth step. And so many people leave this program without ever working an eighth and ninth step, and then they wonder why they still struggle in their lives and don't have the results. It says if we're painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we're halfway through. You will know a new freedom and a new happiness. You will comprehend the word serenity, and you will know peace. You will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle you. You will suddenly realize that God is doing for you what you could not do for yourself. And that's just the beginning. That's the miracle. That is so much beyond just our sobriety, isn't it? And is that a part of your life today? If it isn't a part of your life, don't quit until the miracle happens, because it is happening. It will always happen. It will always materialize, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but it will always materialize if we work the steps and we come to understand tonight's message. So let me turn to Scripture. How does all this happen? How does that happen, Pastor? How does that miracle happen? Well, it happens like this, through this Scripture. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So your part is to boast all the more of your weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on your life. Rest on it. It's an important part of tonight's message. And the question is, okay, how does that relate to the eighth and ninth step? Well, how many of you have worked it? It's the most consistently humble. And the Bible says if we humble ourselves before the Lord, He will lift us up. And it's the most consistent boasting of your weaknesses you will ever do in any period of your life, because you're going back to all your relationships. You're learning how to say those humble words, "I'm sorry, I was wrong." Not a part of the human condition unless you're working a thorough eighth and ninth step. And then you even have to say, "How can I make it right? What do I need to do to make amends for the things I've done?" And that is boasting of your weaknesses. And that's where the power of God begins to rest on your life. And you know what? It's where God's transforming power and the miracles begin to happen. So we need God's power. Every one of us. Is there any doubt? Because we all in this room, if we're honest, know the power of sin. We all experience the power of sin. Does anybody question that? We experience the power of sin every day in our lives. And the scriptures say in Romans 7 that Paul said this, we know that the law, we're going to look at that tonight, is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. The Message, I love how it puts it. It says, I know that all God's commands, that's the law, are spiritual, but I'm not. Isn't that also your experience? Yes, I'm full of myself after all. I've spent a long time in sin's prison. That's what we're going to look at, that word sin's prison. And the scriptures say it's where we live much of our life because we experience the power of the law and we live under the law. And so many live under the law as believers and certainly as non-believers. Yet there's so much hope through Christ. The scriptures say this, for sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law any longer. You're under grace. Christ's power rests on you, and you come under grace versus under the horror of the sin-producing law. And we're going to look at that tonight. So, compare your life tonight as we look at what it means to live under the law versus what it means to live under grace. So let's first look at the law. What does the law produce in us according to Scripture? Well, the first thing the law does to us is it makes us conscious of sin. It strikes us in our consciousness. The Bible says, through the law, we became conscious of sin. Only those people who are in the hugest of denial would disagree that through that there is some sense of right and wrong on this planet. We live in a day of postmodernism that seems to want to scream there are no absolutes. But trust me, only you have to be in a huge level of denial to not realize that God's law makes you conscious of what's right and wrong. That's what it does. And if you're here tonight saying there are no moral absolutes, I want you to really ask God to tell you if that's true, because the truth is there are absolutes and we become conscious of them and nobody can avoid it. So after we become conscious what does the law produce us? It gets pretty ugly according to Scripture. It actually arouses sin in us and then it increases the sin in us. Look what the Scriptures say. It's pretty small on my page here. It says, for when you were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies. So the law produces and then arouses the sin in us. And then it says the law was added so that the sin might increase. God actually gave us the law so that the sin would increase in us because we are sold as slaves to it. And why? So that we might eventually recognize we need a Savior from that sin. That's why He gave it to us. So if you're living under the law, you become conscious of sin. It arouses your sin nature, and it actually increases it because you become a slave to it. How many of us can relate to that in here in Celebrate Recovery? Amen. So what happens next? Well, we become conscious, we become aroused, and it increases, and that produces guilt in us. And it says, since they show the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, that's you and me, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing them. So, you know, this is a sad statement. My wife could confirm this. There was a season in my life where this man was so sick, I used to boast that I had no conscience to rationalize my behaviors. And that was a complete denial, because the guilt just kept building and building and building and building. And I like to say I didn't have a conscience, but oh, I had a conscience. I was just in an intense level of denial. And God knew. And that guilt was slowly going to be used for His purposes. So in a court proceeding, you go to court and you're declared guilty. What's the next thing the judge does to you? Senses you. He punishes you, doesn't he? You're guilty for something, you're going to be punished. That's what comes next for any person that lives under the law, punishment. And the scriptures put it this way, because law brings wrath. If you're living under the law, you're conscious, it's aroused, it increases, and the guilt produces, and you come under wrath. And you may be in denial about it, but it's happening whether you're in denial about it or not. And the ultimate wrath is that we all die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And because of our sin and its arousal and the guilt and the punishment, we will all eventually die. But why did God make it this way? Again, so that at some point in our life, we'd realize we need a Savior. So once the judge says, okay, you're guilty, I'm going to punish you. Where does he send you?
Jail.
To jail. That's the next place he sends you. So the next thing that happens if you're living under the law is bondage. You will live as a slave to your sin. Paul wrote this, "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see this law at work in the members of my body, making me a slave to sin." So, if you're living under the law, you're conscious of your sin, whether you like it or not. It's being aroused in you, whether you like it or not. It's increasing in you, whether you like it or not. It's making you more and more guilty every day, whether you like it or not, which then is bringing punishment on your life because you've got no true peace in your life, and you're probably repeating your patterns over and over again because you're in bondage and enslaved to your sin. And that's why people come into recovery, because that describes their life. And that's why we're here to preach the good news, because what did the scripture say back then? It said, sin will not master you because you are not under the law any longer. You're under grace. So what's a life that's under grace look like? Well, let's look at what the scriptures would say. A law under grace, instead of being conscious of sin, is now conscious of Jesus and His power for righteousness. Paul wrote this. He said, through the law, we become conscious of sin. That's under the law. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. If you know Jesus, this power to be conscious of Jesus instead of conscious to your sin is available to you. The question is, are you living that way? Are you still living under the law, or are you now living under grace? So after you become conscious of Jesus, what is the next thing? Rather than being aroused and having sin increase, if you're conscious of sin, being conscious of Jesus produces the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit in you. And the scriptures say, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. So the key here is to not live under the law, but be led by the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is peace, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And the scriptures say, against those things there is no law. So if you're living under grace, and you're living with love and grace and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness, is there guilt? Is there an arousal of sin? Is there a punishment? Is there a bondage? No. You find the fruit of the Spirit through the power of Jesus in your life. So what happens after you are conscious of Jesus, you find the fruit of the Spirit? The next thing that happens is literally you have to remember that instead of guilt, no matter what you do, and this is grace, you are declared not guilty. For all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God, every one of us, and we all fall short of God's glory standard. Yet now God, in his gracious kindness, declares us not guilty, and he has done this through Jesus Christ. So instead of being guilty all the time because you're living under the law, you're set free because you are declared not guilty. And at this moment, for every believer in this room, Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father interceding for every offense, every sin you commit. And he's standing there going, Father, that's not, I'm in them. You don't see that sin. I'm interceding on their behalf. That's our child. They are not guilty. That's the beauty of grace, and that's the gift of Jesus Christ. So after you're declared not guilty, we sing a song around here. What do we get instead of punishment and bondage? We get freedom. And this is an example of somebody living under grace. They live a life of freedom rather than guilt and shame. And the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It says it is for freedom that Christ came to set you free. And freedom from what? Freedom from the law, freedom from the arousal, freedom from the increase, freedom from the guilt, freedom from the punishment, freedom from the bondage. And that's what we find here in recovery as we practice the principles and give God the glory. So do you live under the law or under grace? Which one? Because I counsel people all the time and I find them living under the law. They think like the law, they sin like the law, they're in bondage like the law, and they don't yet understand the glory of the grace of God. Do you feel condemned all the time? Look at what Romans 8 says. I love this scripture. It says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For through the law of the Spirit of life, you have been set free from the law of sin and death. You no longer live under it. So you've got to realize it as a believer, own it as a believer, think it as a believer because we're transformed by our mind, and then live it like a believer. It can be true, and that's where the miracles happen. So how does all this grace happen versus living under the law? Well, let's go back to tonight's verse. It is the verse of Celebrate Recovery. For my grace is sufficient for you, for my power, God's power, is made perfect in your weakness. So I will boast all the more of my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. It happens here in the eighth and ninth step where you learn to be humble and boast of your weaknesses and have those human character traits that are not human, they're of God, because no human being walks around saying, I like to say I'm sorry, I was wrong, how can I make it right? In fact, I met with somebody this week, and we were lamenting that there are many people that we all know in our lives, and may it not be you, who will go to their graves never saying those words. Because it's not human. It's not our character, because pride keeps us from saying those things. And here in the eighth, ninth steps, we boast of our weaknesses and Christ's power comes to rest and the miracle happens here. Not in the fourth step, not in the third step, not in the sixth step. It happens here. And so don't quit until the miracle happens. Possibly the most consistent boasting of our weakness right here, releasing God's transforming power in our lives. So don't quit until the miracle happens. Don't say, I don't like this place because I haven't changed yet, because you're quitting before the miracle happens. Hang in there, do the work, hang with the winners, and watch what happens. So, you may be here tonight living under the law as a believer, and I hope, if you don't understand this message tonight, that you'll look at these scriptures and you'll meditate on these scriptures and you'll find these scriptures and the power that comes through the scriptures and through practicing the principles of which they teach. But there may be some of you here tonight that go, I don't even know what this guy's talking about because I'm a slave to my sin and I don't have Jesus in my life. And the scriptures say this, all need to be made right with God in His grace, which is a free gift. They need to be made free from sin through Jesus Christ. Every one of us need that. And how are we made right? This is the great news. By grace, not by works. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is the free gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I just ask you, when was your last birthday? Somebody brought you a gift. Did you say, I don't want that gift? Any one of us ever say, I don't want the gift? Here is the greatest gift of all time, God coming to you saying, I'm offering you my grace that you no longer have to live under the law but can live under grace. It's my free gift through faith. And all it takes, the simplest thing in the world, is to say, tonight, I believe. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the incredible message. It's mysterious. It takes meditating. It takes living. It takes believing to find the power of God through grace. I pray that every believer here who's still just living under the law and can't find that freedom of which we're talking about tonight, and who's quit before the miracle happens, Lord, I pray that they'll keep hanging in there doing the work, and that you'll reveal your miraculous power, that you will do for them things that they could never dream that they could do for themselves. And Lord, if somebody's here tonight and they know that they haven't really resolved that issue of who is Jesus, and how can I live under grace if I don't have Jesus in my life? And if you know that's you tonight, right here in this room, I ask you to pray this prayer in your heart, please. Just say, God, I want your free gift tonight. I want what I've heard. I want the freedom. I want the grace. I don't want to live under the law anymore. The bondage, the arousal, the increase, the guilt. I need to be set free through your forgiveness. Would you come into my life? And I ask you to do that, Lord Jesus, because you're the only one who can forgive sins, because you're God. And I promise I'll try to follow you so that I can learn what it's like to live under grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your eyes closed for a second. Truly, this is important. If you prayed that prayer tonight, please raise your hand so I can see you. Thank you. I see you here. I see you all over the room. 1, 5. I see you. Any back in the balcony? I see you. I see you. 5, 6, 7. I see you up there, honey. Any over here? 3, 4, 5 over here. At least 25. I see you in the back. At least 25 people. Lord, give the Lord a hand tonight, everybody. Give the Lord a hand. We're going to close right on time, but here's, folks, if you raised your hand, I ask you to not be ashamed of the decision you made, because it just offered you not only the power to live your life differently, and it's come into your life tonight, I promise, but it's also offered you eternal life, because it is by grace you receive eternal life and your salvation. So it's a big, big deal. It's the greatest decision you've ever made. So I ask you first to tell somebody out loud with your mouth, just say, I don't know what happened, but I heard this great message and I prayed to receive Jesus, and I need to tell somebody because the pastor said that. And if you'd tell me, I would be really, really blessed. But another thing you could do is pull out one of the cards in the back of the chairs and write your name on that card and hand it in, because either tonight or to the food team, they'll get it to me. We will pray for you, I promise, and we'll reach out to you. We will call you if you'll let us. If you don't want a call put on there, we're not going to bug you. But we want to reach out to you and help you get connected through this new thing that's come into your life, which is the power of God. And I'm just so grateful for how God moved tonight.
Today on God's Word Made Plain, Pastor Scott Miller has been teaching us how God's grace makes the difference in our lives. At Big Valley Grace, our mission is to love God, love people, make disciples. Our recovery ministry exists to serve those who are struggling with life's hurts, habits, and hang-ups, those who are broken in spirit. Pastor Scott would like to invite you to join us for tonight's gathering at 6:30 here at the main auditorium of Big Valley Grace Campus, located at 4040 Telly Road in Modesto. Scott and everyone involved will welcome you with open arms. If you need additional information about a recovery ministry, you're welcome to reach us by phone today at 209-577-1604 and use extension 341. That's 209-577-1604. and use extension 341. To go to our official recovery website, the address is recoverymodesto.com. That's recoverymodesto.com. And to know more about Big Valley Grace, simply go to their website at www.bigvalleygrace.org. That's bigvalleygrace.org. And then make it a point to join us for our next program of God's Word Made Plain. Because of your love, there is a way to cope beyond this life. Because of your call, you're mighty to save, mighty to make things right. Because of the cross, oh people, once in darkness, walk in light. Your amazing name, we delight. God's Word Made Plain is brought to you by Big Valley Grace Community Church in Modesto, California. Loving God, loving people, and making disciples.